This is 90.7 News. You're listening to a community conversation recorded live in front of an audience at the Orlando Regional Medical Center. It's part of our Taking Your Pulse project. With me on stage, Christopher Cuevas. He's the founder of QLatinX. It's an organization dedicated to the advancement and empowerment of Orlando's LGBTQ and Latinx community. Christopher, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm also joined by Terry DiCarlo. He's the Executive Director of the GLBT Center of Central Florida. Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you for having me.
Christopher, I want to start with you. What was the initial reaction from the Latino LGBT community as the details started to emerge about the shooting at the nightclub?
Well, I can't speak for the entire community because we are so diverse. And in our diversity, we have different ways of responding to trauma. But I can speak to how our immediate community came together, how our circle happened. Following the news breaking and following the tragedy, members of our community felt displaced. They felt broken, and they needed to be in community to heal. And the biggest absence was community for LGBTQ people of color here. There was never a space where they could call their own. There was nothing other than Pulse that they felt connected to. And with that sacred space gone, there was a need to be together. And there was a need to feel whole again. There was a need to find some grounding.
And that's kind of where QLatinX emerged from?
Well, we started as a circle of strangers coming together to share stories of grief and of sorrow and of heartache and to recount memories of joy and to be together to show resistance in the face of such great adversity. And it started as a circle of strangers and continuing to meet, continuing to heal, because we knew each other. Though we didn't know each other's histories, we knew each other. We knew our language, we knew our culture, we had similar lived experiences, and we honored that. We didn't need to explain that again and again. We innately knew each other. We connected our souls. And as the city responded and as the nonprofit sector responded, there were gaps. And then through those gaps, we recognized that not only were we a circle of strangers coming together, but we needed to do something to support our wounded community, to help create a path for healing for so many who felt that displacement.
So how does it feel now, 9 months on, that when you talk about the sense of displacement, has some of that kind of come back together?
We are still working together to create that path and to create unity. We can't unravel history. We have to take what we had and we have to build off of that. And that takes a long time. And that takes the collective effort of all of the voices in our community coming together and saying, I want this and I need this. And it takes incredible people to make that happen, the people in the community.
I want to ask about one aspect of this, and you know, for some people who were at the nightclub on June 12th last year, this was how family and friends found out that they were LGBT. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that aspect of this tragedy.
It's difficult. It's earth-shattering for some people. Coming out as LGBTQ+ is terrifying for anyone. And for your family to hear that news is undoing everything that they've known about you. This child that they've cared for all of their lives. And for this news to break as a result of this tragedy, compounding that grief, that loss of this image of a person that they thought they knew with the actual loss of that person, is earth-shattering. And so it takes such strength to piece that back together.
Terry DiCarlo, what kind of relationship has the LGBT community forged with its Latino LGBTQ folks, friends, in the months since Pulse?
What we found, and Christopher and I have had conversations on this, prior to June 12th, the center, and we thought, you know, we were doing a good job, and we were there for the whole community, and everybody could come in. And Pulse happened, and we realized that we weren't doing as good a job as we thought we were, because there was a part of our community that we weren't specifically reaching out to. So we're changing. We're learning in the 9 months since this tragedy. We're learning every single day new things and changing and working with the community, especially this amazing organization that's popped up. I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing that what they're doing and what they're building. We want to be there and have them help us get better at what we do.
Now, the center has been serving as a hub for survivors and their families. What are you seeing on the front lines as far as PTSD, that kind of thing?
It changes daily. A lot of people, you know, they say it's 9 months and, you know, oh, people are getting better, but it hasn't been a year yet. We just went through the holidays, and there was that empty chair at tables. There are birthdays, anniversaries. There's special moments in people's lives that they commemorate on a certain day that this year, whether it be a mom or a partner, they're commemorating alone. And so it's still rough, as we heard. People are still going through a lot. So it's going to take a while. But just we at the center, one thing we did do is we brought in counselors that are now at the center every single day. And people don't need to make an appointment. If you're feeling down, if you're hurting, it happens to be one of those memorable moments, and you just feel you need to just walk in the door and say, I need to speak to somebody, and somebody will be there. That's one thing we needed to make happen for our community.
It's a long road ahead, though. So do you feel like you're prepared for helping people deal with what they need to deal with in the years ahead?
I keep saying, you know, we don't know how much of the time we're going to need the counseling for. It could be 3 years, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, it could be 20 years. And one thing that we feel we need to do, and we are doing, is going out and looking for grants and working with the other agencies to make sure that this counseling is in place for as long as it is needed without somebody, one of the survivors or one of the family members, being charged for it. We want to make sure that's there for them. So, you know, although some of the countries moved on and said, oh, yeah, Pulse, yeah, that was 9 months ago, it's still fresh in people's minds, and it will be for a long, long time that people will be dealing with this. And we as a community need to be there for them.
Christopher, I want to come back to you and ask about something, kind of picking up on what we heard from the mayor and the chief of police and communication. Now, a lot of the news we heard was in English. Did you hear that there was a language barrier at all for some of the families of victims?
Because this happened on Noche Latina, there was a need for communication and media to speak to a community whose first language may not be English. And immediately that wasn't accessible. And many of the services weren't immediately accessible in Spanish either. And then when they were, the providers and the systems didn't exude cultural humility in understanding the cultural identity of these people that they're supposed to be serving, who are grieving. And so it was hard to have people not know what's happening, or have that secondhand knowledge being passed on in broken translations. And so it just showed that there were things that needed to be put in place to ensure that the community got the information that they needed.
Do you feel like there's been some progress made in the months since to try and bridge some of those communication gaps?
There has been progress, and progress needs to continue to be made. There are so many strides that need to be made to ensure that the LGBTQ Latinx community and all LGBTQ communities of color feel included, feel heard, because these are voices that are ringing in our community that often go to the wayside. And these are hundreds of voices, thousands, that need to be echoed from the mountaintops, and that they need to be uplifted in the most authentic way and honored.
Are there other organizations kind of similar to what you're doing here in Orlando? Were there other organizations that you could reach out to and get advice from, or did you feel like you were creating this from scratch, from the ground up?
Nationally, there are other organizations that serve LGBTQ-identifying people of color. And in the aftermath, we were able to connect with many of the individuals that do that work, but none have ever experienced something like this. And so we were, in a sense, kind of figuring this out on our own, how to create community, how to foster healing in an alternative way, and honor the voices of the people that came to us needing support.
Terry, what's next for the center?
The center is growing, and I keep saying it's like on a horse-drawn carriage, and the horses are running and running, and you're holding the reins and you're pulling, and they just keep running. So what we have decided with our board is to let it run, but we're going to direct it. Our new building opens within the next couple of weeks. The building we're in now will go under renovation, and we'll connect the two. So we're actually going double the size of what we originally had, adding more programs, adding more Latin-specific programs, adding people of color programs, growing in a different direction than we were before June 12th. So we have a lot of work ahead of us.
And have you increased the staff size as well?
I have. I've gone where we were 3.5 people before Pulse. I'm now up to 5, and I'm actually hiring another one. I'm doing interviews next week.
I guess the location, I mean, you're expanding, but you're staying in the same place. That's important.
We have to. You know, on that day, I got the call. Actually, I usually keep my phone next to my bed because I have a 76-year-old mom. I had actually plugged it in the kitchen that night so it would charge, and my partner had gotten out of bed because all these vibrating, and his phone was going off, and this was about 2:30. And all we knew was there was a shooting at Pulse. And we got, him and I jumped in the clothes and got down there. I called I was on the phone with my board president, and he said, I'm on the way to the center. By the time he got to our building on Mills Avenue, which was about 5:30 in the morning, there were people outside holding candles. We opened that building, and within the first 2 hours, there were 600 people in that building. It's become the center. It's there. It's the place that everybody knows, and they look to it. So we're expanding into the shopping center next door where we are, and I see us staying there because it's the place that everybody knows, and everybody felt that they could come to and get a hug, be around people, lift a case of water, and just be there with community members trying to find out what was going on and feeling that they were helping in some way. So I couldn't see us moving from there.
Well, Terry DiCarlo is the executive director of the GLBT Center in Orlando. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm also joined by Christopher Cuevas. He's the founder of Q Latinx. Christopher, thank you so much.
You've been listening to a special program as part of 90.7's Taking Your Pulse project. a town hall recorded live in front of an audience at Orlando Regional Medical Center. Thanks to all of our partners on this project, including StoryCorps, the Family Equality Council, Orange County Library System, the Orange County Regional History Center, the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Community Center of Central Florida, the Zebra Coalition, Proyecto Somos Orlando, Two Spirit Health Services, Equality Florida, QLatinx, Orlando Health, and WUCF-TV. Thanks to 90.7's President and General Manager, LaFontaine Oliver, 90.7's News Director, Catherine Welch, Communications and Marketing Specialist, Jenny Babcock, and Program Producer, Brendan Byrne. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.